Can you hear me? There we are. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another beautiful Sunday. Yeah. Why don't you just turn around and give everybody a kind of COVID glance and acknowledge each other. Let's be safe. Hey, good waves. There you go. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Right there. Awesome. Awesome. Very good. I'd like to welcome you all to First Baptist Church El Centro, and welcome all of you online as well, watching and staying at home if you have to, or whatever the case may be. But know that our prayer for all of you is for good health, especially as we draw into the close of this year. It's been a crazy year, hasn't it? I don't think we've ever really known a year like this, as a people, as a body of Christ, as those that are on our way to heaven, and yet here we are. This is a struggle. This is a difficult time. But you know, while we were praying this, while we were worshiping just now, I really sensed God's Holy Spirit upon us right here, right now. And so I'd like to open in prayer and ask God's Holy Spirit to touch all of us right now as we go to His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this special place, this special time in the history of the world, Lord. We can gather and trust, Lord, that you are in control. You're going to take care of your church, that you love us, that you're never going to forsake us. Lord, that you still have a work for us to do in this special time. God, give us the strength and the power and the sound mind to carry on, Lord, to give out your gospel, to preach Christ and him crucified, to preach your word, God, with boldness, we pray. Help us not to get discouraged. Help us not to get isolated. Help us not to be concerned about the things of the world, but to be focused on you, Lord God. And as we do that, we pray you save many, Lord. So use us for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We are starting a three-part series, Christmas, of course, a Christmas series. And what we're going to do is look at Christmas from an Old Testament point of view. You know, everything that's going on with the world and how the world's trying to erase our history, they cannot erase who Jesus is in us. They cannot erase what the Word of God says about God's plan for mankind. Even if they, God forbid, threw out all the Bibles in the world, the Word of God is still in us. God's Holy Spirit is still in us, and we're carrying the message of hope to a hopeless world. So we're going to look at Christmas in this little three-part series, again, from an Old Testament point of view. So I'm calling this three-part series an Old Testament Christmas. And we're going to look at it totally focused, appropriately so, on Jesus Christ, okay? We're going to put Christ back in Christmas in our little series here. So we're calling these three parts today, A Son is Given. Next Sunday, God with us. And then our third message on our Christmas sermon, Christ is Born. Okay? But today, a son is given. And so we're going to give you a lot of background information, but I'm going to try to keep it clear and simple. And again, look at Christmas from an Old Testament, a prophetic point of view of who Jesus is, why he came, what he means to us today, and what a blessing Christmas is for all of us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you think about Christmas, what are the first things that come to mind? Family, memories, gifts, food, you know, gathering, everything that Christmas is. But we really need to think of Christmas as a birthday, don't we? When you think of a birthday, your own birthday or family or friend's birthday, you're not thinking so much about all the trappings of the birthday. You're thinking about that person, right? So we're gathering here in this series to think about the person of Christmas, Okay? So that's our focus here. We have a lot of characters in this little passion play that we're going to be walking through. Namely, of course, Jesus, his namesake, Joshua, his likeness, Melchizedek, of course, Father God and the Holy Spirit, and Mary and Joseph, the wise men, King David, the shepherds, the angel of the Lord, the heavenly host, the townspeople of Bethlehem, Herod and Augustus Caesar. So we have a lot of characters in our play here, and we're just going to touch on some of those lightly, but go into more detail with, of course, the main characters, and that's especially what we're going to do today with Jesus. Our place is primarily Bethlehem, of course, but we will be talking about Nazareth and briefly about Egypt even and what was going on at the time in the Roman Empire. The time frame, you know, is about 6 Anno Domini, 6 AD, and that's the thing that turned everything around was the birth of Christ. And I love the description in Galatians 4:4 that it says Jesus came in the fullness of time. He came right on time according to all the prophecies that were given after 400 years of silence. Imagine that. Imagine not hearing any prophetic word if you were living in Israel at the time for 400 years. And yet all the prophecies held and were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And in God's wisdom and God's ways, he knew that that was the perfect time to come, and that was the time prophesied, and we will look at that in the Old Testament. Closer to the birth of Jesus, of course, we had the birth of John the Baptist, who was making a way for the Messiah. And so all these things were taking place in order to usher him in. Our key verse today is Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, and we'll be walking through those verses directly. It's important when we read the Old Testament to look for Jesus and to see the antitypes in there that are reminders of Jesus. I love reading the book of Genesis because when you look at Joseph, you see a type of Christ. Joshua had the same name as Jesus. Yeshua and Joshua are the same names. And so you see this scarlet thread throughout the entire Bible and specifically through the Old Testament that is all about Jesus Christ from Genesis to Malachi. So let's start this three-part series. Just let me paraphrase the Christmas story to kind of get us all in a Christmas perspective. His story starts with Augustus Caesar, who ordered everyone to be registered, thinking that he was the master of the world. Caesar knew he could do it, and so everyone was called to this census to come to their own city. And Joseph, being of the lineage and the house of David, had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a distance of about 70 miles. That's like from here to the border checkpoint on Highway 8. It's about 70 miles. And so you can get a feeling for that distance. And he was with his betrothed wife, Mary, who was of child. And she had to get on a donkey, or some kind of horse, I think it was a donkey, and ride 70 miles. Imagine saying that to your pregnant wife, honey, I know you're 5 months pregnant. Could have taken quite a while to get there. But honey, I got to put you on this horse with child, and we're going to Alpine. I don't think so, you know. Get me a chariot. But nevertheless, they went. And Mary, you got to give Mary some credit here. Wow, what a woman. I mean, young woman, but a woman of God. And she knew she was carrying Messiah, and she had the strength. And we know God gave her the strength to do that. So they ride into town, right, on their donkey and their little gathering there, and we know the story. There's no room for them at the inn. So what do? They go to the stable, and she gives birth to Jesus, wraps him in swaddling clothes, and lays him in a manger, a trough, a feeding trough that was cut out of rock, and he's placed in there in a feeding trough, for goodness sakes, the Savior of the world. At the same time, there's shepherds out in the field at night watching their flocks, right? And an angel appears to them, and they're afraid. They're scared. I mean, anyone seeing a heavenly being and being just flesh is got to be horrifying. And yet, the angel of the Lord says, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy that there is born to you to this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the heavenly hosts join the angel and they're celebrating and saying glory to God in the highest and peace, goodwill towards men. So here's this declaration of Messiah has arrived in Bethlehem, and the first news comes to shepherds. And it's such a joy to see that these humble men just doing their job in the middle of the night, and God gives them this great message. And what they decide to do is, we've got to see this. We've got to see this child. And so they all agree to go to Bethlehem, and they show up, and they meet Mary and Joseph and the baby. And I'm sure they were overwhelmed and just to be in the sight of their Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And so they decide to tell everyone they run into in town, and the word goes out that Messiah is here. And I love this moment when the whole world is just swirling around Mary, and it says she just took all these things in her heart. And she just captures the moment, like, oh my goodness, Lord, what could she have been thinking? That you asked this young girl to deliver Messiah? You know, how overwhelming must that have been? And the shepherds go back and they're glorifying God, and it's just an amazing moment. That is Christmas, okay? So let's hold that in our hearts as we get closer to December 25th. You know, I know December 25th was pretty much a date that was picked. And in actuality, we believe that the birth of Christ was probably more like in October, because these shepherds came at, the angel came to the shepherds at night. So it wouldn't have been the dead of winter, most likely. So we need to keep that in mind. But also, I was thinking about Christmas, and Christmas should really be on a Sunday. Whenever December 25th rolls around and it's on a Sunday, that's the way to celebrate the birth of Christ, is all of us, the church family, gathered together and worship him and thank him for coming and celebrating his birth together. And I remember my first Sunday, my first Christmas Sunday at church, I'll never forget it, because I thought, this is the way we're supposed to celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ. Okay, so let's try to get into our message today. Again, the title is A Son is Given, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Let me read it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father God, bless your word as it goes out, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start with, for unto us a child is born. God came to earth in the form of Jesus, fully God, fully man. Even as a baby, he's still fully God. Is that impossible for God? No. Is anything impossible for God? No. Can God get rid of COVID? Yes. Right? Can God make the church stronger than ever? Yes. Okay? So, let's keep our eyes fixed on the Lord through this difficult time. If you feel weak, ask for strength, and look what God did. He sent his son to save us, right? To bring fellowship back to God. And so let's embrace Christmas this year, maybe like never before. Don't get caught up in the trappings. Don't get caught up in the lights and the carols and the presents and the shopping and the difficulties that can complicate Christmas. Don't lose Jesus in your Christmas, especially this year, okay? The name of Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, okay? The key word there, salvation. We need a Savior. The world needs a Savior now more than ever. As Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, likewise, Jesus leads us into the promised land of heaven. So let's be thankful that Jesus made a way. Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus brought light into darkness. He brought water through the Holy Spirit to a dry land. And you know here as well as anybody how important water is, right? And we know as believers in Jesus Christ how important his Holy Spirit is to all of us. Imagine living without the Holy Spirit. I can't. I cannot imagine living this life, especially now, without the Holy Spirit. But he brings that Spirit to us and enriches our life. And it says here that they had no form or comeliness. Jesus wasn't physically a movie star, okay? He was an average Joe physically. And that's what it's saying here. And I love that because he came to relate to all of us as human beings and to make that connection with a holy God. He came because of his agape love, his holy love, his spiritual love, his fatherly love, his unconditional love for us is what drove him here to be born for one purpose only, to die on the cross for our sins. He is our king and our high priest. In the order, it says in the Psalms, in the order of Melchizedek. And if when you hear that name Melchizedek and when you study it, think of Jesus being king and priest. That was absolutely forbidden for a king to be a priest. But Jesus is our king and he's our high priest, as was Melchizedek. Many believe that Melchizedek was Jesus who came and met with Abraham. And so that's why the name of Melchizedek is aligned with Jesus, because Jesus came in the manner, it says in the order of Melchizedek, he came in the same manner as king and priest, and you could even say prophet, in which Jesus was as well as Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:15 says, and it is yet far more evident if the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, now quoting Psalm 110:4, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus came in the manner of Melchizedek as king, priest, and prophet. It goes on to say in our title today, unto us a son is given. We have several sons titles to look at here. First, Jesus is the Son of God. In Psalm 110:1 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand and make your enemies your footstool. That is Father God Yahweh talking to Adonai in the Hebrew. In other words, Father talking to Son. Another way to say it is God said to my, that is David's Messiah or Jesus. God talking to Messiah in this verse, okay? And it's declaring Jesus in a position of power and equal to the Father, which Jesus claimed when he was here. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, in Matthew 28:18. Your enemies here, when he says, your enemy, I will make your enemies your footstool, Jesus is our conqueror. Malachi 4:3 says, you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Jesus conquered sin and death at the cross. But first, he had to be born. And that's what we celebrate. So he had to come. The message of the gospel is so simple. He came, he died, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he's coming back. And he's coming back soon. Church, grasp that in your heart today. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, especially this Christmas. When you think about all the warfare going on around us, remember, he is the Lord of hosts, and he's never lost a battle. Read the end of the book. Jesus wins. Okay, and we are children of Most High God. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So capture that in your heart and don't get discouraged. The first mention of the Son of God is actually in Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are being punished for not worshiping Nebuchadnezzar's idol of gold. And they refuse to bow to him. Nebuchadnezzar lights up that fire and throws him in and then observes Jesus in action. And he says in Daniel 3:25, look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That was Jesus walking in the fire with Daniel's three friends. Luke 1:35 says, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Psalm 2:7 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right? He goes on to say in 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Jesus is God's begotten Son. Now, Islam has a different view of this. In the Dome of the Rock, outside the building, the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, there's in one of a few descriptions that refer to Jesus. One in particular says, God, the eternal, besought of all, he begetteth not, nor was begotten. Islam, the Muslims, do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but we know better. We know who he is. So take that to heart. The Trinity, we can't totally comprehend it and wrap our minds around it, can we? But we can accept by faith there's a Father God, there's a Son of God, and there's a Holy Spirit of God. All one God. Is anything impossible for God to do that? No. No. We take it to heart. We believe it by faith because the Bible says so. Jesus is the Son of God. He's also, scripturally, in the Old Testament, the Son of David. Okay? And Matthew 1:1 starts off by saying, in the genealogy of Jesus, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay, so clearly, remember, Matthew is addressed to the Jews. Clearly, the genealogy is identifying Jesus as the son of David, who is the prophecy of Messiah. When David was alive, one of his sons, Absalom, was very prideful, very rebellious. Remember, he rebelled against David and actually tried to take his throne away from him. And he tragically died, hung by his pride, his hair, in a tree, right? Jesus, also son of David, died in a tree, but not by his pride, by his love for us. What a contrast of Absalom to Jesus, but both the son of David. Matthew 9:27 says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, son of David, have mercy on us. Blind men realizing that Jesus is the son of David, that he is the promised Messiah and the fulfillment of everything that Jesus is. Blind men realizing this. What a message to the Pharisees who couldn't see Jesus for who he was. The first verse that impacted my life when I became a Christian was, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind of who Jesus is. I was blind of what the world's trying to do to twist and pervert how to live. I was blind and ignorant to the things of God, but when I met Jesus in my heart, I knew that now I can see. Now I can see a loving God. Now I can see a way to heaven. Now I can see and know his spirit living inside of me and embrace that and live life according to God's plan, not my ways, but his ways. What a difference. What a way to live. David's kingdom was established forever through Jesus, and we'll see that in 2 Samuel 17. Jesus also, one of his favorite titles for himself, Son of Man. Son of Man is actually mentioned 81 times in the Gospels. It was Jesus' title for himself, and also people referring to Jesus as the Son of Man. He used it as a title to reflect the glory. Daniel 7, 13 through 14, and Daniel's dream said, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Jesus, as the Son of Man, he's saying, I'm the Messiah. And I'm of the power and the glory of God, but I'm not the one you Pharisees at the time were expecting. They were expecting a conquering king. Remember, the disciples kept asking, when are you going to reestablish the kingdom? They kept asking him over and over and over. They were blind to the truth of why Jesus came to save the world. And he was a spiritual Messiah, if you will. And they lost sight of that. All they wanted was to restore the kingdom and be powerful and conquer Rome at the time. But Jesus came for a different purpose, of which they weren't prepared for yet. Psalm 8:4 says, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? So the son of man has a servant quality to it. And that's Jesus' nature. He's gentle and he's humble. Matthew 11:29-30 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Man, I love that verse. When you see the gentleness of Jesus, when you know his kindness, his loving kindness, and his tender mercies, God becomes real. God is tangible. We need a gentle Savior right now. We need God's tender touch in our lives through this difficult time, don't we? Go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, just help me to sense Your presence in all of this and know how to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Come to Him in prayer that way, and He will honor that. So why did He come? Big question, you know, important question. Why did Jesus come to earth? We know it's because of the fall. And it starts right in Genesis. In Genesis 3:15, with the fall of mankind. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's God speaking into the lives of Adam and Eve and the serpent specifically about the fact that, okay, yes, the fall is here, but I'm going to fix this. I'm going to send my son, and you're going to bruise his heel on the cross, but he's going to crush your head, Satan. And he's going to render you dead. And he's going to take sin down with you. And it's not going to carry on in his kingdom when he reestablishes kingdom here on earth. Jesus came to redeem mankind from sin and restore our fellowship with the Father. That's what it's all about. It's why he came. Isaiah 42:6-7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. The inmates at the prison here need to hear this message. Even though they're incarcerated, they need to know that they can have freedom in Christ. All of us are in prison almost in these bodies. These bodies of flesh that are full of sin. But God sent us his Son, so when we believe in him, his Holy Spirit can come inside of us. We can be born again and be more like him and have a heart to be like him. Right? Are we perfect? No, not even close. But Romans says through patient continuance, we can get there and we can aim for that. To be more like Jesus in a world that needs to see Jesus now more than ever. Psalm 18:46, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let's pray every single time we get together here physically, in prayer, in worship, in the midweek service, whenever you're thinking about Jesus, whenever you're thinking about the church. Make sure your house is built on the rock. Amen. So that when the storms come, if COVID hits us, God forbid, we will not be moved. We will not be swayed. Our faith is not going to be rattled because our house is built on the rock. So we all have to think, well, what am I going to do if I get COVID? God knows. We will get through it. You know? What's the worst thing to happen? We die, we go to heaven. Oh my goodness. That doesn't sound so bad right now, right? But still, our heart breaks if we lose loved ones. Yes, it's still difficult. You know, I haven't even met Rosie and my heart breaks for her, right? And all of us who lost loved ones, we all go through that loss and that pain. And Jesus wept when Lazarus died. He knows the heartbreak of death. But that's why he came, is to conquer that. We are going to live forever with Jesus, with our loved one, with all the saints. So if you lost a loved one that know Jesus, know and take to heart, you're going to see them again. In a much better place than this. John 3:17 again, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Through him, no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Thank God he made a way. Isaiah goes on to say, and the government will be upon his shoulders. That's talking about the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And his name will be called Wonderful. That's his nature. Jesus is wonderful. Do you know the wonder of Jesus? Is he wonderful in your life? Is Jesus full of wonder when you think of him? I wonder what God's going to do next. I wonder what God's going to do tomorrow. One thing that Margaret and I are blessed in our marriage is that we always have something to look forward to. Always. As long as I've known Margaret, we have always had something to look forward to. And it's one of the really the biggest blessings of our lives, of our marriage. And I thank God for that. We have marriage, a wedding coming up next year. And we're going to see our new granddaughter on Thursday in Tucson. And it just, of course, Christmas and hopefully a new year that's better that's mask-free. Imagine that. So many things to look forward to. And of course, what Jesus is going to do here, what his Holy Spirit is going to do here. So much to look forward to. Jesus is wonderful. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Jesus is the God of wonders. He is wonderful. Take that to heart. He's a counselor. A lot of times when this verse is read, it sounds like wonderful counselor, but there's a comma there. So we need to separate those two. He's also a counselor. A counselor came in and deceived Eve as a snake. Okay, as a evil being, and he succeeded. How appropriate, this is Spurgeon, I'm paraphrasing, how appropriate that now we have a good counselor to counsel us through life and get us out of this mess. Take the good counsel of Jesus to heart, especially through his word. He's mighty God. Don't skip over this. Jesus is mighty God. Jesus is God. Father, God is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. One God in three persons. Okay? Again, take that to heart. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. Good way to describe Jesus. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus was there at creation. Okay? Jesus is not a created being. Okay? Jesus, God, came in the flesh, but he's eternal, okay? And he's alive right now, okay? That tomb in Israel, is there anybody in there? No, that tomb is empty. It's a funny story about a woman walking into the tomb in a tour, and she walks in, and she goes, there's nobody here. And he's like, yeah, that's the whole idea. Jesus is alive. He's in heaven. There's nobody there. Nobody. Okay? I love that. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. Jesus is the source. He's the author of all eternity. He's creator himself. He's not the Father. He's Jesus. But they're one. Hard to explain. Just believe it by faith. And we have his spirit inside of us. Okay? One God. He's a Prince of Peace. That is a nature, if you will. It's a strength. He's a mighty ruler, not necessarily the son of a king. It's just a sense of who he is, the Prince of Peace. Daniel refers to him as the Messiah, the Prince that was cut off. He was born in another man's stable, cradled in another man's manger, ended up, when he died, in another man's tomb. An empty life he lived, that he was rejected by men, but he loved us so much. He was willing to go through all of that, even the humiliation of the cross, because his love was so much greater. And he brings his peace to us through his victory on the cross. He said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid." If you don't have that peace of God today, ask for it. Pray for it. Seek that peace now, in the most, maybe the most difficult time in our lives, and he will give it to you. He humbled himself by coming to this world and to the cross because he loves us so much. Verse 7 here in Isaiah, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." That's referring to the 1,000-year reign and all eternity. That's his government upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. That was the promise of God to David, that his throne would never end through Jesus Christ. How's this all going to happen? Through God's zeal. I love that word. Through his excitement, through his eagerness to do this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God so loved the world, to such an extent that he came as a man to live, to walk in this earth for over 30 years and then save us. He performed that because he loves us so much. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of hosts, and he's never lost a battle. There's a battle going on right now for your soul, for your maybe your attention and your mind, as with things that will distract us, things of the world, right? That distract us from the things of God. But we throw that into captivity and say, "Lord, harness my heart. I want to think of you right now. I want to think of good things, of how good you are." That's discipline. That's a spiritual gift. Ask for it if you don't have it. And take it to heart. It's a disciplined life, no question. But it's worth it to have that heart and that zeal for God. So this is his story. And we've only just begun to talk about Jesus and put Christ back in Christmas in these three parts. A son is given. And it's a declaration of who Jesus is and why he came, as he's written about in the Old Testament. Next Sunday, God with us. And then we'll wrap it up on the 20th, Christ is born. Okay? So as the elders come up for communion, I'd like to pray for you, all of you, and